Good afternoon, and welcome to our class on the fifth chakra. Fifth chakra is a very fascinating chakra, and it has a multitude of uses because of its place in the energy system. The fifth chakra is one of those chakras that very easily takes in, translates energy from all the other chakras, information from all the other chakras. So, for example, most thoughts, when you have a thought in your head, it exists more in its, you might say, its pristine state as simply a form of energy, whether you look at it as a picture, something that we would say represents what the thought is about, whether it's something as simple as a fractal form, for example. And yet, when we think, most of us hear that thought translated in some way. You don't, when you're trying to think, what should I have for dinner this evening, for example, most of you don't see like, oh, here's a piece of steak and here's a carrot. You know, you don't see these pictures in front of you, but you hear a voice that says to you simply, what do I want to eat for dinner today? This voice, this sound, is a translation that occurs in the fifth chakra area. The fifth chakra has the ability to take forms that are merely vibrational and to give them, to translate them into a language that we understand. It is a point that not only does this for energy in your particular system, but for all the energies around you and outside of you as well. The fifth chakra, in other words, is a chakra that usually gets a lot of traffic. It has to translate into some kind of verbal form the ideas, the impulses, the emotions that come through the chakra system from you, from you yourself, and it has to translate all those similar things to from the outside into you. And so this makes it a well-traveled chakra. One of the things that you notice about people who have a very active fifth chakra, people who spend a lot of time either trying to talk and communicate with others or a lot of time listening to other people, one of the things you notice about them is that they usually have some kind of habit that is focused in the area of the mouth or the throat. The fifth chakra interpenetrates the throat. And most of us, when we think of habits, we think of something bad, but with the fifth chakra, if it's used a lot, if it seems to, you might say, be at the disposal of other people quite a lot, talking to them, listening to them, most people that do that develop something to do with the mouth or throat that allows them to feel that they, you might say, own the fifth chakra again. So, for example, a lot of people who have an active fifth chakra, in a very basic way, like cold drinks, hot drinks, something that has a particular taste, it's sweet, it's sour, because simply after a long day of talking to people, something that is warm in your throat or in your mouth, simply on a very basic level, you say, oh yeah, this feels good to my throat. I can feel I'm affecting myself through my own fifth chakra, if you will. And sometimes it works on the ears. Some people have a particular music or a particular sound, such as a TV or radio program that they have to hear after they've been working. Watch your oral habits. Smoking is another way that people want to own their fifth chakra, because you affect yourself very directly when you smoke something. It gets absorbed right in on an energy level through the fifth chakra area, through the throat area. If your habit includes a substance that has an addicting part of it, such as, say, smoking does, say, with nicotine, unfortunately, you tend to develop a habit for it, a connection to it, a need for it. If it's usually something that is like ice water or hot tea or something, the addiction is usually less. But one thing I've noticed about people that utilize the fifth chakra a lot is they usually have to deal with some kind of attachment that they will develop to a food or some substance that has to do with the mouth. So I ask you just to consider that. The fifth chakra, let's see, how can we put this? The fifth chakra is the place where you can see the split in the functions of the chakra system most directly. You've heard me talk over these last months of the chakras having a projecting function, a function where they project energy out to people, and a function where they take in energy. And sometimes it's hard to define that in the other chakras, but in the fifth chakra you can usually see the division more clearly, since one of the things that the fifth chakra participates directly in is both what we call talking and listening. Now, there's always this mistake that people make when they say that someone that talks a lot is, say, a good telepath or has an open fifth chakra. That's not especially true. In order to be someone that uses the fifth chakra fully, you have to be able to send energy out through it, such as through talking, but also to listen, to be able to take energy into it. It's been my experience many times that people that talk a lot seldom listen that well. Many times they talk a lot because they're filling up spaces where other people could be talking, filling up space where they could be listening. So oftentimes you'll see people that talk a lot about communication and how you have to communicate with them, and they're saying, I'm telling you exactly what's inside of me. And you'll notice that when you try to talk to these people, nothing really much goes in. In other words, you think, this person really doesn't hear what I'm saying to them. And so you can see with the fifth chakra oftentimes that people will accentuate one function over another. They'll accentuate the projecting function, for example, the talking function, over the listening function. In the other chakras, this is not as pronounced. So, for example, in the second chakra, you can see this split in that many people are good at pulling up their own emotions. Anything you want to know about them emotionally, they will tell you. And oftentimes we make the mistake of thinking that this person is so aware of their own emotions, they're going to be aware of mine. But it's not always the case. And many times you'll find that if there's a split in function, for example, in the second chakra, the emotions, the person will be able to tell you all about their emotions and how someone affected them, and they may cry a lot or laugh a lot, but perceiving your emotions is something that they might have a real trouble doing. The receptive function of the chakra is not really open. And so you can see this kind of split in the other chakras, but I think it's most direct in the fifth chakra. We have the other extreme in the fifth chakra of people that listen a lot but don't say anything. And we always have a distrust of that. It's like energy's going in, but nothing's coming out. If you have the kind of work or the kind of life where people confide in you a lot and they want to talk to you, but not particularly hear any advice, but just want to unburden themselves, you need to watch this, because it emphasizes this fifth chakra function that simply says you're a receptacle for whatever this other person is pouring into you. And this means that whatever they're telling you, if it's something that is a problem they have or a pain that they have or a difficulty, that energy is going right into you. The fifth chakra is one of those chakras that gives the world that you consider outside of you direct access to your energy system. And so oftentimes people would say to someone that has a job like as a therapist, and they say, well, how can that be difficult? All you do is listen all day. Well, all that is being said is going inside of you. So when someone's telling you about what happened to them as a child when they were abused or something of that nature, on one hand, you're not being abused, but the energy form that conveys what they felt like emotionally, the pain they suffered, goes in to you. And if you don't take steps to acknowledge that and, you might say, clean out the energy system afterwards, what happens is that you become the person that processes all that comes into you. If you're one of those people that a lot of people have to talk to, and then after you've spent your day talking, listening mostly to people, if you come home and you feel like, oh, I don't want to do anything, and you just sit there in a semi-catatonic state, you're taking time to process all that's been put into you. And we tend to forget this. We tend to forget that people that listen to others in many ways are doing a great service, because, as I say, listening seems to be you're not doing anything, right? You're just sitting there. Well, remember, you are processing this energy through you. You're processing the pain through you. If people are very attached to you because you listen to them, I can assure you, you're processing their energy through you. They will look at you and say, hey, I get to talk to so-and-so today. That's great. A lot of people call you up and say, I just had to talk to you. Think about the process that's going on. I'm not saying you have to stop, but just make sure that you recognize that you're offering yourself as someone who will literally digest what this other person is having a difficulty digesting, and you have to take the proper care of yourself in order to be able to do that without a lot of consequences to you. The fifth chakra, when it's working in its maximum capability, allows you to hear and translate the thought forms of other people. Hearing and translating are two different things. There's a dual function in the fifth chakra. One of the more interesting experiences I've had with the fifth chakra, which is actually a very different kind of experience with it, is for most of us what happens is, in telepathy, someone presents a thought form, a picture, an idea in the form of something that is other than words. If you have an open fifth chakra, it can go into you and it'll translate to you what that person would, you might say, is saying. Since we all speak, you know, most of us speak English, we translate into English, literally. I've had experiences where I've had to deal with people that don't speak English, and telepathically I find it to be really fascinating, because the process kind of has to go another way. For example, oftentimes if I'm speaking to someone, or if I'm trying to listen to someone who speaks French, the form goes into the energy form. If I'm doing a reading for someone, as I do sometimes, it speaks another language and someone's going to translate for them. When I look at their thought forms, I feel it go into the throat chakra and it'll translate into their language. It's like, oh great, you know, I hear the thought form as if it's in, you know, it's in French. And I sit there and I say, like, oh great, so I can hear directly what this person wants to say, and literally I have to allow the energy to go up into the sixth chakra where it gets translated into a visual form, and then I'll go, oh, I kind of get an idea of what this question is about. It's a real fascinating kind of process, but I want you to remember that we put a certain translating function in here according to the language that we speak. And so the fifth chakra literally translates for you. If you are an English speaker, it translates things into English. One of the things that happens when you learn another language is you create another mechanism in the fifth chakra that allows you to translate into that other language. Those of you that have had the experience of when you say, gee, I'm now thinking in this other language, what's happened is the fifth chakra has finally taken on a form that allows you to translate your own thought forms into that language. It's usually a good sign that you're learning a particular language. The fifth chakra, on a physical level, the mouth and the throat, which is part of the fifth chakra area, is the first area that deals with digestion. The first breaking down of food for digestion occurs in the mouth. The fifth chakra, on an energy level, has that function as well, in that it's the first stop in, if you will, the process of digesting energy, of integrating information that comes to you from outside into your own energy system. The fifth chakra, therefore, contains a lot of our karmic programming about what we can and cannot hear, what we can say and cannot say. It carries this kind of programming there. It tends to get this from the sixth chakra. The sixth chakra essentially carries the ideas or the seeds that formed your particular energy system. The sixth chakra carries them literally from one lifetime to another. And so certain ideas about who you are, how you can be treated verbally, are presented in the fifth chakra. So if you're a person that says, I can't be, for example, angry at anyone, if that's not part of your karmic definition of yourself, perhaps you found in your past experience that when you're angry, nobody likes you. I mean, I know it sounds very silly, but basically it comes down to that for most people. Things that they do that other people like, they continue. Things that they do that people don't like, they stop. And so you find that there's no place for your anger. No one wants to hear about it. People go away from you. And this is your experience over many lifetimes, or even the first part of this lifetime. You'll eventually develop a form in front of the fifth chakra that any time you're angry simply will stop the anger from being expressed. You'll find yourself being really angry about something at work, and inside of you, you hear this voice raging that says, I can't put up with this crap any longer. I am going to leave. And then you find yourself, when someone says, Walter, do you have a commentary? And you find yourself saying, well, I think we need to relook at our priorities here in this situation, because I do not think they're addressing everyone's need. And it's like, okay. And inside, part of you is saying, and kiss my ass, because you're the most stupid person. But this is not allowed to come out. It's just not allowed to come out. And you may say, well, society dictates, you know, or your situation with your boss, your relationship with your work dictates that you can't say these things. And I'd say that's precisely what a blockage is. It's an energy form that allows certain kinds of energy in a certain situation and disallows others. This is why the forms you have around in your chakra system oftentimes are more complex. They're very sophisticated. So you might, for example, have a form that says, I can't be angry at people that I don't really trust, but I trust my partner, so I'm going to get angry at him or her. And it's like, oh, joy for your partner. Because then that person gets to hear about your day in all of its agonizing detail. And if you ever notice that, if you've ever been in a relationship and, you know, your partner comes home and they're just full of this, you know, rage about like certain person at work. And I don't know if you ever had that experience of having someone just rage around about someone that they work with, and you say like, wow, this person must be a real pip. And then you go to some party at their work and you meet this person. It's this kind of like this little mousy person, you know, and your friend is treating them so nicely. You know, it looks like they have this apple pie kind of relationship together, and it's so nice. And you're like, gee, this is the woman, this is the man that I've been hearing is the biggest son of a you-know-what in the world? Jeez. But the point is that you have to remember that you are the person that is they're allowed to be angry with. And if you have that position, well, you should think about it. On one hand, it seems very romantic many times. You know, it's like, I can tell my partner anything. Well, I think that's good. You should be able to tell your partner anything, but your partner shouldn't be the only person that you can talk to. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it shouldn't be the only person in the world that you can express your frustration and anger at how everything in the world works. Because it puts a great, well, it puts a great strain on the relationship. Then that relationship between the two of you has to process all that goes on in the world of both partners. It puts a lot of burden on it. Because most relationships that work well, both people help each other, but they both take care of their own issues at the same time. There's usually some kind of mutuality there. I'm not saying that each person is only responsible for their own difficulties and problems. It doesn't work that way. We get together with other people because we want to share. And it goes from sharing the nice things we have to the kind of nasty things, too. And it's just there's a balance that that you need to achieve. Some part of you that says, I can take care of my own issues. If I'm mad at people at work, I can go be mad at those people. And at the same time, that knows that if this process doesn't work, if you can't take care of something, that you can go to your partner. There's usually a certain mutuality that needs to be come across, that you need to come across. You find this blockage in the fifth chakra. Well, the classic one is for oftentimes they say men can't express feelings. And many men do grow up with, you know, if you grew up with a father who's, you know, who taught you the right manly way to be, you know, you don't go around and whine. You don't go around and say like, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm working so hard today and I feel like my whole world is falling apart. You know, if you're a guy, you're taught oftentimes by your father or by the men around you, you know, real guys don't complain, they don't whine. And so when someone comes to you, you're in a relationship, and someone comes to you and says, how are you feeling about something? And you say, no, it doesn't bother me. I mean, you're literally just following the pattern that has been established in your fifth chakra. And sometimes when someone who's been trained that way, it takes a long time to get rid of that block, because usually the person that teaches you it says, it's important for your survival for people never know you hurt, for example. This is something that, like, men are taught a lot. And when that is inside of you, then when you are hurt by someone or something, literally inside you can be screaming about it. You can be saying, oh, this is, you know, I can't stand what's going on. But yet if that person asked you, did I do something to hurt you? You'd say, oh, no, everything's fine. You just, blah, blah, blah. Yes, everything's fine. Literally, the energy pattern prohibits that energy from being released. Oftentimes, you'll see this in partnerships where one partner or the other has been trained to not complain about, you know, the partnership. You know, so if something's gone wrong, you're not supposed to say anything. And so, oftentimes, ironically, they meet up with a partner who doesn't have a similar blockage. So you have one partner that's constantly complaining about the relationship and another one that keeps saying, oh, no, I think everything's fine. If you ever get in that kind of situation, realize that if you're living with someone or you just say, I really love someone who's always complaining, inside you're probably always complaining too. There's probably a part of you that's saying, well, maybe if I hang out with this person, I'll learn what it's like to let this energy out. You know, I'll learn how to talk about it in some ways. I always think it's funny when a couple comes for counseling and one of them will say, he or she is just always complaining and I think everything's fine. And it's like, well, no, it's usually not everything. It's not fine, usually. Usually there's this attractant between people that have opposite structures in the fifth chakra. This is why oftentimes you see these in partnerships, you'll see one real gabby partner, somebody's talking, who's very social, who's always like, hey, how you doing? And there's this other partner that's like sitting over there at the side, talks to people, you know, doesn't really make a big show of things. They're much more quiet. You say, how did these people get together? Well, You know, one is learning from the other, usually. One is learning usually how to listen from the other, and one is learning how to talk, you know. So there's a certain mutuality that you can watch in your fifth chakra. If you have a relationship with someone and your fifth chakras, your ways of communicating are real different, look at who that other person is, what they're expressing. It's probably something that you want to bring out yourself, but for whatever reason, you're told not to. You have a blockage that says don't do that. Now all this energy that you can't say, all these things that you can't say do tend to build up in the neck and throat area especially. If you deal with a constant sore throat, if you are dealing with a constant swelling of the glands, for example, you're usually retaining a great deal of some kind of emotion, whether it's anger or whether it's love. Sometimes people can't express love. They're taught that they shouldn't make themselves vulnerable by telling someone they love them. So this gets held here too. And anything that's held in an area, as we've talked about before, anytime you hold a particular energy in an area, it slows down on a physical level the flow of fluid through the area. It slows down the cellular reproduction in the area. It slows down the whole physiological energies in a particular area. In the throat, this means that the glands swell. This means that the throat gets sore, and therefore it can swell and get irritated. If it's a long-term block that is something that's been going on for years, usually it begins to affect the structure of the neck itself, and so there's oftentimes literally the vertebrae gets pushed out of place because you have this voice that's literally, and some of you have felt this, when there's this voice almost as if it's like vibrating right here, but you're not going to let it out. Literally that vibration, holding that vibration of that anger or whatever in the throat area, can push the vertebrae out of place. At the very least, it tightens up one side of the neck or the other. Usually, if you're holding a lot of energy that you don't know what to do with on an emotional level, it usually build up around the neck area. And so, not always, but sometimes if you constantly walk with your head to one side or another, or you're slumped over because there's like a weight on the back of your neck, there's usually a emotional expression. There's usually emotional expression that you are not putting out, that you're not presenting. You're being limited by a particular barrier you have there. Sometimes the barriers are self-imposed, sometimes they're imposed by others. Cords, energy connections to your fifth chakra, oftentimes regulate what can be said. Now, when you have a cord with someone else, usually in the fifth chakra, most of the cords are either from your fifth chakra, your throat, to the other person's. Although you see also sixth chakra to fifth chakra cords. In other words, sometimes when you have one of those, say those couples where one person speaks and the other doesn't, oftentimes the person that doesn't speak will have a cord from their sixth chakra to the throat of the other person. So literally their thought forms, their ideas can literally get translated into the other person. The other person, in other words, speaks for them. I love, oftentimes if you watch couples on television and they'll ask one person in the couple a question and they turn and look at the other person, and you see the cord there going to their throat, and then they start to talk, give the answer. It's like, oh, this person is answering the question for them, through them. It's quite fascinating. It's quite fascinating thing to watch. This can be a very clear telepathic channel for people, this, say, sixth chakra to fifth chakra cord. The difficulty with it is most of us don't control our minds very well. And so everything that's in your mind basically gets dumped through into this person's throat. So if you're hanging around the house and in your mind you're thinking like, boy, this house is a real mess. Why don't so and so clean it up? It really pisses me off. And that just floats through your mind. It's not even like you're sitting there saying, this is the focus of my day today because I'm peeved at this. It just floats through your mind. Well, if you have a connection to someone's fifth chakra, that thought gets translated into them. They hear it. They hear it. And the other person, usually in a few moments after having that thought, the other person might come to you with this sense of being real angry, and they're real angry, and they're walking around, they're kind of stamping around you, and you'll say, gee, what the hell is wrong? And what has happened is literally the person feels the judgment that momentarily floated through your head. They are now reacting to it. Neither one of you have actually said anything. So you have one of those situations where it looks like everybody's mad, and yet, who's done anything? Who's done anything? Those of you that like to be close to others, I know there's this ideal that says in couples you should be always very close and very intimate. I'd ask you to remember that intimacy is difficult because most people have a difficulty accepting everything that pours out of their mind. It's really difficult for most couples, even the best ones, to recognize that, you know, they can engender great feelings both of love and of antagonism constantly from someone else. And so it's when you want to have a strong connection with another person, remember you need a great deal of compassion to go with it. Why, and I'll get to the idea of listening, blocks to listening in a bit, but oftentimes one of the reasons that we don't hear, that we don't have good telepathy, is simply that we don't want to hear a lot of the things that are being said around us. It's as simple as that. There's a certain sense of selective hearing. There are also the fifth chakra cords can be difficult because what happens is, because the fifth chakra has a strong place in emotional expression, in other words, it's one of those ways that our emotions are expressed to other people. It is a, when there's a fifth chakra to fifth chakra cord, remember that the emotions inside of you go pretty directly to the other person without translation. I mean, very directly. When there's a mental image that goes from one person to another, mental images are just a bit more, it's more like looking at a picture of anger than being angry. When anger comes up from the second chakra, it's usually, you know, you're ready to hit somebody. And that comes out in the throat. When it floats over from the sixth chakra, it's more like a picture of an angry person. And so it's a little bit different response we have. But if you have a fifth chakra connection, you're getting usually a big blast of whatever that other person is going through right into you. It's one thing you need to watch if you have this cord is that if, for example, you go to a party or some function, and your partner, say, is talking to a good friend of theirs or someone from their work, and something that person says or the way that they treat, you know, your friend or your partner really annoys you. Say it's something that you've been hearing about for a while and it really pisses you off. And so you're standing there while this action that pisses you off is occurring and you're really pissed about it. And you're just like, if you have a fifth chakra cord to the other person is going to start bringing that anger out. They're going to start getting antagonistic with the other person because they're literally going to be translating your energy out through whatever they're saying. Their words, even in the beginning, if they might not be angry words, they'll start to have that tinge of energy that says there's a tension, there's an edge in this conversation. This is something that I find is interesting, that it happens oftentimes if service is bad, if like there's a problem with dealing with the company, sometimes I'm all right with it, and I'll just say, oh, if there's a problem, you know, these people overbilled us or double billed us or something, and I just let it go. But sometimes, for whatever reason, it really bothers me. And since I'm not you know, I don't believe in, you know, just calling up and screaming at the poor person whose, you know, $7 an hour job it is to answer the phone. I'll usually sit down, I'll say, you know, I'll say to my partner, would you please just call these people and ask what the problem is? And so I'll hear her talking to someone, and part of me just will start to, I can feel I'm just getting angry about it. And as I get angry about it, I can hear in her voice, I can hear the kind of edge getting into it of just like, well, we're not particularly pleased with your service either. And all of a sudden, this person that didn't have a problem with this was just going to straighten it out is all of a sudden real angry about it. And all they're doing is they're just picking up the fact that it just really annoyed me, whatever particular process went on. And so you have to watch if you want to hold a fifth chakra connection with someone. You have to watch because they in some ways become your mouthpiece and you become theirs, vice versa. And most people, well, we like this integrity of speaking for ourselves, and it's in this kind of cord makes that more difficult. It makes that more difficult. If you have a friend and you have a partner and your partner doesn't like them, it can be very difficult to enjoy having a conversation with them, because even if you don't get mad at them, you can hear, you know, your partner, you know, kind of crabbing around about it in your ear. You know, like, why do you hang around with that person for anyway? You know, and it just can go on and on. If you had a real strong, real strict parents, especially when you were growing up, who constantly, you know, were trying to direct you and make you act in a particular way, you can be very susceptible to these kinds of fifth chakra chords. You know, so if as a child, if you remember having your as you were about to do something evil, hearing your mother's voice saying, I told you, you know, don't do that. Or after you've done something stupid, you know, and you're sitting there and you like the firecracker blew up in your hand and your hand's all burnt and you hear your father saying, told you, take a finger off with that. See, I was right. Well, this is the fifth chakra chord. If you're used to taking in discipline and commentary that way, you're generally going to invite that from people that you feel are in authority with you. So if you feel like your partner is that way, if you feel at work, your boss is in that position, then you're going to have a open up your throat chakra to a chord that will invite their commentary. So you're doing something that they don't like. A relationship many years ago where, you know, I'm not a sports fan at all. I like baseball in general, and about once or twice a year I'll watch a baseball game. You know, it's just my tribute to being a guy, I guess. And I, well, you know how it is. You got to keep up. You know, you go into places, a bunch of guys, they ask you to talk about sports. You got to know something. So I would say to this person, I'd say, now look, you know, I'm going to watch this baseball game. I'd like to just enjoy it. So, you know, I don't want to have any kind of real disruptions during this next 2.5 hour period, if that's possible. It's like, oh, sure, no problem. And then I'd be sitting there watching the game, and I'd constantly hear this kind of antagonism in my ear. It was like having this other voice in my head that would be constantly saying, like, you're watching that instead of spending time with me. And it's like, yeah, okay. But, you know, and this is going over and over again in different ways, and it was like, oh. And it makes it hard sometimes if you're a... if you have this telepathic sense, it's hard to just be in another world. You really can't be. That idea. And it's funny. I've noticed this with men a lot, too, that many times, you know, people say, well, this person never hears me. Well, many times they do. It's just that you get used to the fact that someone's going to always be disliking what you do in one part of your head. You know, you get used to the fact that someone's always going to have some criticism of you. And so you learn just to accept it, to say nothing about it. And someone says, I can't get through to you. And it's like, well, you are getting through. I just, you know, I'm just so used to hearing it that I just, you know, it's not even that I tune it out. It's just like having a dog bark next door. It's just barking. You just let it bark. But if you are used to being disciplined especially by your parents verbally, you're probably going to make that opening with a partner, and you're going to invite literally their criticism, their commentary on whatever you do. And so in an odd way, sometimes it will get you in a position where you find yourself avoiding things that would engender the critical voice around you. And so you need to, if you find yourself doing that, if you find yourself avoiding things simply because this critical voice comes up inside of you, it's probably time to remove the cord. The cord is limiting you more than it's really connecting you to the other person, because it's literally establishing that that other person is simply someone who's antagonistic to you, your pleasure, whatever you want to do. It starts to build this wall that says, you know, that there's this separation between us. There's what I want to do and what my partner thinks I should do. It creates that kind of child-to-parent relationship that is always so much fun in a relationship, especially among adults. So, I ask you, and we'll work, we'll show you some ways to remove cords that way also. I also want to bring out at this time that the fifth chakra has a major role in creating on an energy level the energy form that people interface with on a public level. Right out in front of you in your aura is your public form. People interface with it. The kind of woman, the kind of man that you are in society. It's right there. The fifth chakra creates the energy that makes that form. And parents literally connect to their children's throats in order to shape the formation of this entity. So that voice from your mom that says, you know, no, don't pull the bottom can out from that big pile of cans that's standing up there, that is shaping a public persona of you. You, the little boy that will not pull the can out, you know, that will not cause trouble, that will not make a mess, that will be polite to other people. That voice that's constantly given to you is shaping the public image that you're using to interface with people. It's telling you how to do it. You may disagree with it later in life, but it helps you to create that first image. And so any time that you grant someone access to your fifth chakra, remember, you're granting them access to creating your public image, how other people are going to perceive you. And this is why many times in a partnership, people look at their partner one day and say, I'm married to this person, and they get real, they feel that that's not them anymore. And you say, like, gee, you know, where does that thought come from? Well, if you have a fifth chakra cord with them and they've been shaping who you are and how other people see you all this time, and you decide that you don't like that person, all of a sudden that person that you are that you dislike is going to reverberate, and you're going to start to turn back to the person that helped you create them, the person on the other side of the cord. And you get that part of you that doesn't want to be seen with them in public. That's how it usually manifests yourself. If you're ever in a relationship where you find yourself avoiding going in public with the other person. Hi, this is, you know, my partner so-and-so. If you don't want to do that, you're usually saying, I don't want this person to have any more of a role in shaping how other people see me. And when you appear in public, of course, on a physical level, people are doing just that. Most people will judge you by, you know, what you wear, who you're with, et cetera, et cetera. If they like who you're with, then you're a little bit more okay than if they don't, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when you start on a fifth chakra level, this same process is going on. So the same way your partner creates a certain aura about you, their energy in your fifth chakra creates a certain aura about you on a metaphysical level that people encounter and see as you. And, you know, you can look at that as good or bad, but if you're picky about it, just remember that usually what you want is this real strong connection. You want someone to contribute to who you are, you want to contribute to who they are, so you're very careful about it. It's usually a sign that you want a very involved, you might say, relationship, a very merged kind of relationship, when you think that way. Now, the other side of this whole matter is selective hearing. I love selective hearing. I love selective hearing. The same kind of way that you'll have blockages that karmically say you can say certain things, but you can't say certain things. Well, the same, you have blockages in the receptive part of the fifth chakra that say you can hear certain things about yourself or about other people, or you can't hear them. You can't. And so you'll have someone who will, well, some of us say, like, I don't want to hear any criticism about me. You just don't want to hear it. You don't think you deserve to be criticized, so you don't just hear it. And so someone can talk to you and sit down with you and say, you know, you have this kind of problem or that kind of problem, and they'll talk to you real seriously about it, and inside of you, you won't hear anything because you don't have the problem. So what they're saying to you, you don't hear. It's not important to you. It's like when you're calling your cat, and you can see your cat, and you're calling its name. You know the cat can hear you, but the cat's just laying there looking at the ceiling, and you say, well, either the cat's dead, or what I'm saying is unimportant to the cat. It is not hearing me, and usually what you're saying is unimportant to the cat. It's just like, I hear my name being called, but I'm hearing the thought forms. The thought forms are there, but I don't hear anything that says it's time to eat, or I'm going to do something that you like, I like, so therefore, I don't hear you. I don't hear you. My grandfather was a master at this. He would sit there, and people would talk to him, and he wouldn't hear anything until someone said he liked to talk about fishing, you know, and so he wouldn't hear anything. You'd say things to him, and he'd just sit there, he'd nod, you know, and you can say, you wanted to say to him, like, you don't hear me at all, do you, Pop-Pop? And he wouldn't listen. All of a sudden, someone way at the other end of the table that was hardly raising their voice would say, yeah, I went fishing with so-and-so the other night. And my grandfather would say, oh, you say you went fishing, and all of a sudden, he's talking, you know. And, or my grandmother would say to him, you know, you need to get that backyard cleaned up. And you can tell, it's just like, I don't hear it. And then, someone would say in the background, say, like, hey, you want to go out? And I was thinking of going out and going fishing or hunting. He'd say, oh, yeah. And he'd, all of a sudden, he'd be up and he would hear it. We are sensitive to certain things that we think we should hear. And we're not sensitive to things we don't want to hear. So, for example, we may think, well, I'm the perfect, absolute partner. You know, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, I love my partner, and I take care of them, and I take care of all their needs and all. And so when your partner comes to you and says, I'm really unhappy, and I want out, you can go through the whole conversation, and it's like, okay, and then your life will go on, and a few days later they'll say, well, what do you think about what I said to you the other day? And you'll say, well, what did you say the other day? And you say, that I'm unhappy, I wanted out of the relationship. And you say, you'll look at them, and I've had people say this, heard them say this, they'll say, well, what does that mean? You want out of the relationship. And it's really hard to say something, to find a response to that. What do you mean? Well, I mean that we have a relationship, and I no longer want to be in it. And people will say, well, does that mean that you don't want to... you don't want to live here anymore? Is that what you're saying? They're just not able to hear it because, in their mind, they're the perfect partner. You know, they're the perfect person. And so, karmically, since they're so loving, there's always people that I find that fascinating. They always, anybody that tells you how loving and giving they are, it's always a good point to go, no, wait a minute, why do you have to tell me this? Wouldn't it just be something that I would notice, you know? Wouldn't I notice this, you know, if someone was always so loving and giving to me, wouldn't I sit back and say, wow, you know, so-and-so, they really are just generous. So there's a part of, but we all have this. We all say, like, you know, I'm always there, you know, I'm always there for my partner or for my mom or dad. So there's a part of you that just doesn't hear when they're saying to you, you know, I need more from you, or I'm dissatisfied with this relationship, because karmically, the karmic pattern that's in the fifth chakra says, it's impossible for me to hear that I'm not satisfying you, since karmically I know I'm the most satisfying person around here. How could you not be happy with me? And this is, it's often very devastating to the other person to have to hear something they don't want to hear. It oftentimes destroys their whole image of themselves, because again, the fifth chakra presents your public image. So the part of you that says, I'm the best worker this company's ever seen, I'm the best partner that anybody has ever run across, all these, this is who I am. These are all part of the public image that we present. And when someone finally makes us hear something that we don't want to hear, it could be really devastating to our image, our public image. We can fall apart, literally. We can not want to face the world anymore. And sometimes, you know, some people, when a relationship ends, some people, you know, they go on, but some people, they feel really, really devastated. They don't do any, you know, they won't do anything for a couple weeks at a time, and they'll say, gee, I know it was tough for them, but you think, you know, they'd want to go to work and just get their mind off it, or they'd want to go do something to get their mind off it. But if so much of yourself is in your public persona, and the relationship and you being the perfect partner was so much a part of your public image, that when that ends, you have literally no public interface, no way to meet people. The fifth chakra creates that image that allows you to go out and say, this is an image that people would like about me. You know, like, you know, I'm a person, I have a long-term relationship, I make my partner happy, I'm a good worker. You know, all these little kind of things that we like people just to accept about us. Well, you take them away, and we don't have anything. We can feel that we're worthless. And so, if you deal with a lot of issues of self-worth, like what you think of yourself, sometimes that's a fifth chakra issue. It's a fifth chakra problem. Either you're getting information from cords to the fifth chakra that says you're not who you say you are. Those of you that received a lot of criticism when you were a kid, for example, it can be real. Kids grow up, they have a certain image of themselves, and they try to nurture that image and put it out there as a way for people to relate to them. But if constantly they have a parent or a sibling or something that's constantly running them down, constantly on this fifth chakra level, you know, making fun of them or teasing them or being antagonistic to them, it really makes it difficult for them to form a public image that says, I'm a worthwhile person. And that's why, you know, you always have to watch verbally with children. You have to remember that whatever you say, you know, for a lot of kids, just goes right into them. It's not all kids. Some kids come in with those great karmic blocks. They just don't hear you, and then you you have to shake them a little bit. But they don't hear you. But many children do, and they don't have a lot of barriers around their fifth chakra yet. So when you get mad at them and you say, are you the stupidest person in the world? Well, that goes right into them and becomes part of that public persona that they start to create. Perhaps they start to create a persona that says, yeah, I'm stupid. And then they have to deal with that throughout their life. And kid grows up and you say, I don't know why the kid thinks that he's stupid or that she's stupid. We send them to good schools and all that. And it's just like, well, if you've been telling him or her that they are really stupid, if every time they make a mistake, you get real pissed off and you come down on them real hard, chances are the public persona that they're creating is not one of confidence and grace and agility. It's usually one that says, I'm not worth anything. I have to prove myself to you. Selective hearing. There's some things we just simply don't want to hear, and you find this where this actually has the most impact actually is for those of you who try to listen to things that are outside of the body, such as like a spirit guide or you try to listen to some other voice in your head, or you try to communicate with something else that's not in a physical form, it becomes a problem then, because, you know, most advice that you need, you can get pretty much from inside of you. In other words, most teaching is pretty much something you can do if you really listen to yourself. The problem is that we don't listen to ourselves. The same thing we don't want to hear from someone else, we don't want to hear it from ourselves either. We don't want to hear it from ourselves either. And so, if there's something you really want, people always ask me this. They say, well, you say to use your clairvoyance or to use your telepathy to ask questions and get answers, and all the answers I get, they're never right, or they're seldom right. What's the problem? Well, sometimes you just don't want to hear the word no about something. So you say, here's a problem. Say you really want a particular job. You really, really want that job, or you really want to have a relationship with a particular person. That's what you want. And you go to some kind of meditation class, and then somebody says, the answers are within. Just ask, and you'll see whether you can have these things or not. And you go, okay. So you focus, and you talk to your spirit guide, and you say, I want to know if my relationship with so-and-so, who I think is the most beautiful, lovely, wonderful person in the world, if that's going to last forever. Well, of course, we know the answer you want to hear is yes. So suppose the answer that's coming is no. I would suggest that most of you wouldn't hear it. Most of you wouldn't hear it. You'd hear yes, since that's the answer you expect to hear. And so what's the most difficult oftentimes is we have certain things that we think should be, and we're just looking for, you might say, spiritual, divine confirmation of them. Confirmation of them. This is the most famous thing that I ever had to deal with that way was, once had to deal, there was this, there were these two people, they were having an affair, and one of them was in a long-term relationship with someone, and they kept asking what to do about whether they should stay with the person they're in a relationship with or they should go with this other person. And they would come for readings, and they would say, "Well, I asked my spirit guide, you know, what I should do, whether I should just tell my partner that I really wanted to be with this other person." And my spirit guide told me that not to do that, that there was going to be some, that my partner was going to get in an accident and die, and then I could be with this other person. And they're like, okay. I say, well, it's interesting because when I look at it, all I see is you're basically going to have to face this person and go tell them, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore if you want to be out of this relationship. And this is, oh, no, my spirit guide says, you know, there's going to be this big car accident. So finally I said, well, gee, isn't that convenient? So you want to be done with this relationship, and all of a sudden this other person disappears through no fault of your own. God just kind of comes and just goes, kup. They wanted to hear that being with this other person was all right. In other words, that ending their relationship and being with this other person was all right. They wanted their spirit guide to say to them something that would make it all right for them to do this, and so this is what they would hear. And when you would touch in with the energy surrounding this person, all the entities around them were just like, tell them just to tell her, you know, it was these two women, tell them just to tell her, tell them just to say it's over, you know, just stop fooling around. But no, they're waiting for the big car accident, which subsequently never came. And it took a long time. But it just goes to show you, I mean, we laugh at that, but if you were in, you know, if you get yourself in that position sometime, look how eager you are to believe, you know, that somehow there'll be this divine intervention that will make all your problems go away. The only thing people don't think of is they're saying, okay, so it's all right for this person to die because I want to be with so-and-so. And it's just like, geez, can't you just end the relationship? Must this person die, you know, to end this relationship? Come on, come on. But I just want you to see the lengths that these blockages will go through so that you won't hear something that you don't think, you won't hear something that you don't deserve. We try to preserve a certain image of ourselves with the fifth chakra, basically. And the image that this one person had was, I'm not the kind of person who would leave my partner, so they have to die. Ooh. Okay, well, it's a lot to go through to preserve your image. So, if you are trying to open up your telepathy, and why most people don't have good telepathy at all is that they're not willing to hear everything. They're not willing to hear everything. They're not willing to, you know, talk to their partner and realize that sometimes their partner's going to say, yeah, I agree with you, or sometimes they're going to say, you know, I don't like what you're doing at all. They're afraid to basically hear that someone dislikes what they're doing. And we all have that to some degree. I mean, none of us likes to hear that someone else disapproves of what we're doing. But yet, if you're going to be a good telepath, you have to be willing to hear anything. You have to be able to hear yes as well as no as an answer to your questions. Some people have the opposite problem. They're so used to the idea that they're worthless, their image of themselves is so worthless that if they ask a question and the answer is yes, like they're saying, I really want to move to this place and I think it would be good for me, but I just don't know. I don't know whether I could really make it there, whether I could make new friends there, etc. And you listen to, you look at the energy that guides them, the energy that guides them saying like, yeah, let's go. But they don't hear it. Because their image of themselves that they feel they deserve is one that says, I'm kind of a failure, I'm a loser. And so all they hear is no. All they hear is no. And so you can have it on both sides. It's not only something that, you know, affirms, it can just affirm your highest vision of yourself. It can also affirm something that is real, that you might consider as a negative aspect of yourself, too. And so the issue with with being a telepath is that you have to be able to hear anything. Anything. And most of us aren't willing to do that. It's a difficult proposition. It's a difficult proposition. So most people would say, oh yeah, I'd love to have a relationship where we complete each other's sentences. Well, you can have that, and that's fine. But just remember, you're going to be completing all kinds of sentences with each other. And I think, now, do I think that love can handle that? Yeah, I can. Because I have a really pretty good telepathic connection. So relationships were always really kind of crazy for me, because there was always two levels of relationships for a long time in my life. The energy level, what was going on, and then what was going on the surface. It was always puzzling to me, because the world that I would hear on the fifth chakra level and the world that I would see around me would be so different. And it took it can be difficult if you want to have a strong telepathic relationship. You need to be with someone who's pretty tolerant of both themselves and you. There has to be a lot of compassion there. In other words, you have to be able to get angry with each other, and it's not a big deal. If you're the kind of person that says, my partner can't be angry at me, either, boy, he or she has some nerve being angry at me, or, they can't be angry at me for whatever reason. If you think that, you're not going to telepathically have an open connection with that person. You'll hear some things that they say, but you won't hear all of them. And usually if you have one block, you start to get used to it. It becomes this place that you can kind of make a wall against the other person. And so one block generally leads to another. So most people wall themselves actually off from one another. But if you can be tolerant, if you realize that being in love can mean that sometimes you want to strangle the person and sometimes you want to hug the person, if you're willing to just have that and to let those energies go through you, you know, and hear them, like know that you can hear your partner's pissed off at you, and then you can hear the next minute that he or she isn't. If you can accept that, then telepathy will work well for you. But if you can't, then you have a problem, because then you have someone who's always seems to have a say in how you perceive yourself, how you are seen and interfaced with by other people, and you'll feel a lack of control. You'll feel that they're always shaping you. You'll feel out of control. And it should be mentioned that the fifth chakra is a chakra that's used to control things. Parents control their children many times with their fifth chakra. If you don't stop doing that, I'm going to come over there. Well, you're not going over there, but your voice is. And, you know, many a kid will hear that, and it's like, uh-oh, and they'll stop. And they'll stop. Parents use their voice constantly to help shape the image of the child. Don't do that. You're acting like an idiot. Stand up straight. You're in company. You know, it's like you shape quite literally. If you're a parent, you're literally shaping with your voice. It's a tool of your will. You want your child to be a certain way, to be accepted, but, you know, to have some kind of acceptable behavior patterns in society. You are shaping them towards that. The fifth chakra is a vehicle of the will. It carries the energy of the third chakra the same way the hands do. Remember when I talked about the third chakra, I talked about the arms and hands being an extension of the third chakra. Well, the fifth chakra also carries the will the same way the arms and the hands do. And so it carries the force of physical impact, in other words. Because the third chakra is that chakra which makes energy that impacts the physical. It carries that. And so people do get abused and hurt by the words that are said to them. You know, you put enough pop behind what you're saying, it will devastate people. If you have a strong third chakra to fifth chakra connection, two things usually occur. One, animals usually obey you. And it's one thing that you can, is way you can tell. Animals usually obey you. If you say to a dog, sit, the dog sits. However, the other thing that happens is if you get mad at somebody and you say, now this really bothers me, they can find that anger uncomfortable. They can feel like they're being pummeled by something. Because literally, if you're angry enough, your words will carry the force of your anger. So if you're angry enough to throw things, but you're not, but you're saying, I'm angry enough to throw things, I don't know why the hell you did that. Well, it's like pop, 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 pop. So if you have a voice that is strong, if you have a voice that, as I say, the animals are a good judge of this, really, because animals have to watch out for who might do them harm. And one of the ways that animals communicate is verbally. They growl at each other. They make some noise that conveys, I'm going to bite your ear if you don't get out of my way or what have you. Well, they're very sensitive to that. And so if when you raise your voice, you know, the animals in your neighborhood like run like hell, or, you know, all your animals look up like, uh-oh, what's going on now? You probably have a pretty good third to fifth chakra connection. And you need to just be aware of that when you're expressing yourself to people, because they can find what you're saying to be have a real physical impact on them. The other side of that is your words can have great impact on other levels too. So if you tell someone you love them, they can feel it viscerally. Your words will have a real strong meaning to them. It will be like someone is touching or caressing them. Some people, you always hear that some people can turn someone on or thrill somebody just with their words. Well, this is usually someone with the third, fifth chakra connection. They can put out their will through the fifth chakra, and this gives the words the impact that the hands might have in doing so. And so It's just good to pay attention. I'm not saying that having this connection is a fault of any kind. It's simply, you just simply have to adjust to it. Most singers who are popular have a good third to fifth chakra connection. They can put out their will. Their will is that you feel what it's like to be in love in this song, and you feel it. You feel it. It's a good connection, but it also means that if you have this connection and you talk all day, you're going to feel physically depleted. You're not going to feel like coming home and, you know, cleaning the house or cooking dinner or doing the yard work or whatever other physical things you have to do, because a lot of your physical energy gets translated into words. And so if you find yourself in a position where you, because you talk a lot, you feel very depleted at the end of the day, you might look at the fact you have this third, the fifth chakra connection, and that a lot of your energy to affect the world goes out through your throat, goes out in your conversations with others. Let's see, other things about the fifth chakra that are fun to know. People that have open fifth chakras and open seventh chakras tend to be people that can hear voices that are not present in the physical realm. You generally need to have both open to do that. Again, you run into the problem of your belief system in the seventh chakra. So your seventh chakra, just to go ahead a little bit, your seventh chakra contains the karmic ideas of what your beliefs should be, what you karmically are predisposed to believe. So, if you're karmically predisposed to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that He is God, if the Buddha comes and is sending an energy through your seventh chakra that says, come, rise up, you're the next Buddha, you're not going to hear it, because your mind says Jesus is the only way. Who the hell is this guy? You know, who's this guy with the little bead in his head? Huh? You wouldn't hear it literally. You just literally wouldn't hear it. If you want to get advice from entities that are not in a physical form, the first thing I would ask you to consider is, what are your beliefs? Because you're not going to hear anything that goes beyond what you believe unless you clear those energies out of the system. So it's always good to ask yourself, what are your beliefs? So if you believe that you get married one time and that is your, you know, God drew you together and no one can tear you asunder, and that's your belief, if you're asking some entity out of the body that's that to what you should do about your relationship, your marriage that's in trouble, if they're saying you need to leave it, you're not going to hear it, because your spiritual belief says that, you know, I have one person and that person, I'm here with them forever. You just won't hear it. And so you won't hear anything else besides what you believe. One of the reasons why I ask people to know themselves as part of a spiritual pathway is not because knowing yourself is such a wonderful thing. It's not, obviously, from a lot of you. It's like, I don't want to know this person. But you know then what your prejudices are. You know what you want to hear. And you can start stepping beyond that boundary. Because what you want to hear, what you believe, all that is simply a boundary that says, this is as far as I will go. And if you're on a spiritual pathway, the whole point is to take down the boundaries, to go beyond the person that you know. And that means literally going beyond your beliefs. That's why spiritual pathways are different than belonging to a religion. A religion says to you, here are the beliefs that are true. Take these in. In other words, make this the barrier. Make this defining line that separates you from other people. After all, you're the chosen people, right? You know, notice religion always uses something that separates most religions. There's the chosen people, and then of course there's those that are not chosen. There's the saved. There's the born again. It's always this separation that's being made. It's always this separation that's being made by beliefs. The spiritual pathway says, is this your belief? It's in the way. Take it down. And see, most people won't accept that. Most people find that hard. That's not comforting. Religion is supposed to be a comfort. This is what people tell me anyway. Religion is supposed to be a comfort to you. And so a spiritual pathway is usually not of a great deal of comfort all the time. It's like walking up to a wall and saying, okay, take this one down. Let's see what the view is. Sometimes the view is great. Sometimes it's like, geez, why did I do this? You realize that you keep things unconscious for a certain reason. You know, sometimes I want you to think of that also when you look at, I want to reveal the unconscious part of me. Remember, you keep it that way for a reason. You don't want to see something there. And if you take down the barrier that makes you unconscious, you're going to go, oh, geez, no wonder that was there. And if you can laugh at it, then that's good. And you'll just keep on going. But most of us, at some time to time, will say, like, why did I need to know this? Did I really need to see this about me? You know, sometimes you'll see something, like, say you'll see some kind of ultimate selfishness that you're involved in. You say, gee, did I really need to see that? I mean, you know, I could have lived this whole lifetime without knowing this. This is what a spiritual pathway is about. It's about revealing what you don't want to see, taking down the barriers that protect you, making yourself someone whose consciousness extends to the experience of the unknown as well as the known. Karma is the experience of the known world, what you know the world is like. And so I just want you to consider that, because there's nowhere that this is more evident than in the fifth chakra, where we only hear certain things that we want to hear, we only say certain things that we feel we're permitted to say. This is another issue just with this seventh to fifth chakra connection. You say, I want to be a medium, I want to be a channel, I want to bring information to other people. Well, the same blocks that say you can't say this to yourself, they're just not going to magically disappear because someone else is sitting in front of you. And in fact, most people who respect their own limitations will respect your limit, the person's limitations who come to you, too. So it's hard to get information when you have all these blocks that dictate the kind of information you can channel through you. That doesn't work. Those who try to channel, and they say, every time I try, I get this great pain in my throat, like something wants to come out, but I can't speak. It's usually because whatever's going to come out is something that you are not permitted to hear or say. And so if you grew up with the idea that it's not nice to say things that may upset other people, and the information that's coming through you is, you can tell, is going to upset this other person, you're not going to talk. You're going to say, gee, there's something wrong with the channel. It doesn't seem to be coming through. Well, no, it's hitting this block right here in the fifth chakra. It's not going through. This is why it's difficult. Any kind of information gathering process is very difficult. It's very difficult. And, you know, people go around and say to you, my spirit guide said this or that. It's good to take a look at that person and ask yourself, do you see any clarity around this person, especially in the fifth chakra area? Does this person look like they could hear something other than what they want to hear? And if the answer is no, then take what they say with a grain of salt. And remember, people can want to hear negative things about themselves as much as they can want to hear positive things. Just to keep remembering that. We are not simply people that want to praise ourselves. If we are comforted by our identification with a negative point of view of ourselves, we will just as gladly support that. So some of you can get all the information you want from other sources about how bad you are. You ever notice that? You know, you ask, like, you have some kind of guide force, and you say, what's wrong with me? And they have a list. It goes on. And you say, well, what can I do to change this? And there's this silence, and you don't hear anything. It's like, oh, geez, that's great. So you create this, you say, what's wrong with me? I can hear everything that's wrong with me, but I don't know how to change it. Well, perhaps your image of yourself is this person who is unable to change, who's impotent and therefore can't affect their life, who is very well defined by all these faults. I mean, that's who you are. So that's who you're going to be. That's who you karmically deserve to be. You can't change it. And so that part of you that says, I can't change that, is literally going to block you hearing this voice that says, well, you know, if you want to change, do this, this, and this. It's going to block that voice out. So if you have difficulty, if you have difficulty hearing, talking to some guiding force, if you have a difficulty listening to what you might call a sublime self or a higher self, it's really understandable. It's one of the hardest things to do is to listen, and to listen without prejudice. Don't be hard on yourself about it. People think that being getting information from other realms is something that should just somehow be there, that somehow that this other realm is filled with entities that are like God, that are immediately willing to overcome all of your blockages to hear it. Well, that's not true. There are plenty of things talking to you, but the whole part of a process is learning to be unafraid to hear what they have to say. And this is at the bottom of, I would say, at the bottom of all blockages in the fifth chakra is fear. Fear of being something different than your karma has dictated you to be. So if I'm afraid to hear that I'm not the best, most conscientious, most loving partner in the world, if I'm afraid not to hear that, then I'm not going to hear that I'm, you know, that my faults. I'm just going to hold on to this image of myself. If I'm afraid to look at the fact that people are dissatisfied with me, I'm not going to hear them when they tell me so. Fear is what keeps most people from being a good telepath. Fear of what you're going to hear. Fear of what you're going to hear. Now, I'm going to give you some things to work with that... I want to give you ways to start taking down these barriers in the fifth chakra so that you can at least have a process that you can go through that will help you clear out your fifth chakra in case you want to hear something other than, you know, your programming says to you. Some of these exercises are easy and some of them are hard. I decided to include the harder ones in this for those of you that are real interested in this and want to keep up with it. The harder exercises you can do later on after you get used to the easy ones. Just remember, with telepathy, we really do protect ourselves from what we don't want to hear. And if you're going to be a telepath, you can't do that. You just have to listen, and you just have to realize that some people are going to hate you, some people are going to love you, some people are going to take a totally opposite view of you than you take of yourself, and that's just has just something one has to accept. And it's hard to develop that kind of acceptance outside of having some kind of meditation practice or something you do every day that refocuses your energy. So whether you meditate or you do yoga or you have some kind of practice, if you're interested in being a telepath, I would strongly urge you to keep it up as you do these exercises. In other words, not to substitute these exercises for some other kind of, for the other meditations you're doing, but just to add these in. They're not really a substitute. Okay, first... meditation. The first meditation that I'll ask you to do is one that clears away the blockages that people have to hearing, to listening, to hearing something that is outside of their view of themselves. I'm going to ask you to be begin by extending your arms out from the side of your body. Your palms will face forward. I'm going to ask you to breathe in, and as you breathe in, I'm going to ask you to pull your arms and your hands in towards your throat so that when your inhalation is ended, the tips of your fingers are touching the center of your throat. As you exhale, you're going to chant, O-ah, O-ah, O-la, Om. O-ah, O-ah, O-la, Om. And then we'll just keep repeating that. You'll breathe in, pulling the arms and hands to the point where the fingers are touching the center of the throat, the backs of your fingers are touching each other, and then you'll begin the exhalation and the chant. This removes blockages to hearing. That's the best way to put it. Another meditation that we'll do briefly, we've done this on the other chakras, but I simply wanted you to feel its effect here, is the meditation that we use to remove cords. I'm going to ask you to see a white spiral above you. Breathe in and pull that white spiral as if you're extending it down into your throat. Exhale it out through the front of your throat. Breathe the spiral back in, let it spiral back into your throat. Exhale it out behind you, breathe it back in, exhale it out to the left side, breathe that spiral back in, exhale it out to the right side. This will simply remove cords. If you're having a difficulty, you know, if you feel like somebody is constantly, as you might say, in your space, you feel you need a certain space in your relationships, whether it's a work relationship or your personal relationships, sometimes just removing the cord will give you a break. You know, there's no law that says that love means that you have to be connected to something at every moment, at every day. That has to be your direct focus. So if you have a partner you really care about, love doesn't mean that every minute of every day he or she is right there in your face. Just real simply, okay? It doesn't mean that. So you can remove the cord, and somehow it's not this antagonism, it's not this anti-love act. Sometimes it'll just give you a break from each other's minds, a break from the constant chatter back and forth. And sometimes when you really, if you're in a partnership and you're really getting on each other's nerves, or you find that, you know, you're with your parents or you what have you, and they're really getting on your nerves, just do the cord removal meditations. It really helps sometimes. It just takes away that part of you that says, I always have to deal with this person's feelings or that person's judgments or what have you. And it gives them a break from yours, too. And so that is something that can help. I'm going to ask you to add an archway of blue, as we've been doing with all the different chakras. We've been making these arcs of color through the system. For the fifth chakra, I'm going to ask you to use a blue color. And the fifth chakra responds to blue. Blue tends to be a color that can respond to all the other colors. It's a good sensitivity color. It gives you a sense of your own place, but it also allows you to hear the wide spectrum of things that go on around you. So we're going to draw the blue up both legs, up the sides of the body, let the energy beat in the throat, and then exhale it downward. So we'll breathe the blue energy up both legs, up the sides of the body to the throat, and then when the energies meet, you end your inhalation and you begin your exhalation, sending them down the opposite side from whence they've come. So you're making this arc of blue. Next thing, I'll have you I'll give you this one of those meditations I'll give you, and you try this. It's a difficult meditation. It's a meditation to create a telepathic link with all parts of your body. So, for example, your second chakra, there's some kind of emotion going on. You can feel it. It's swirling around you. You can feel it in your belly or in your, you know, what have you. And you're saying, geez, what is this about? I mean, what is this emotion about? Well, the fifth chakra contains the ability just to draw energy up from the second, to bring it into the fifth chakra and have that emotional feeling be translated into something approximating English. Like, I can't stand it, let me out! You know, something that will give you some more clue of what's going on around you, rather than simply saying, I feel restless, I feel like I'm going to cry, I feel like I'm going to hit somebody. You know, it just will give you more of a direction. And how we're going to do this is this. We're going to ask you to, well, we have to work with forms now. So I'm going to ask you to visualize a ball that's a gold color. You know, about 4 or 6 inches across. I want you to see extending downward from that ball, so as if you have the ball up the top, and extending downward from that ball about a little tube that's about an inch wide. And at the bottom of it, you have another ball. So you have two balls connected by a long tube, both of which are gold color. I'm going to ask you to take the ball at the top and place it in your fifth chakra. Take the ball in the bottom and place it in the chakra that you want to communicate with. And just try to hold the visualization there. Just hold the visualization. You don't have to do anything with it. Just hold it. This starts the telepathic communication. It starts the telepathic link between that chakra and the fifth chakra. The next stage of that is that you learn to make the ball spin, rotate, as if they're just going round and around and around, sitting on top of that stick or underneath that stick. It's like spinning around. It seems easy, but to get both of them spinning at once and to hold that visualization is difficult. But it's one of those things that if you can do that, you'll find that your ability to hear what's going on around you becomes very, very clear, especially what's going on in your body becomes very, very crystal clear. The next phase, if you want to take that to another phase, is to turn the balls from gold to silver. Silver works very differently in the body than gold. Silver, I use silver actually almost all the time when it comes to communication because it's the most direct. It has it doesn't hold anything back. It doesn't have any aura around it that makes things seem either better or worse than they are. Silver, you might think of silver as something that breaks things down into its digital components. It just breaks everything down without commentary. It can seem somewhat compassionless at times. In other words, it will let those feelings that and those emotions that have little regard for how you think of yourself come up. If you use it between yourself and another person, it means that you can pretty much tell them the unvarnished truth. And silver just doesn't seek to soften the blow at all. It's just, this is what it is. Here it is. Take it or leave it. Silver is the next phase of that. So you go through first having the gold balls that are connected and putting them in the chakras that you want to communicate. Next, you try to rotate the balls. Next, try to turn them a silver color. And then the next thing you can try, you want to be pick a willing partner and then put one ball in their throat and one ball in yours and just hold that visualization. You can do this with an animal, too. Just remember that animals do not speak English, despite the claims to the contrary. And so you have to learn how to interpret the sounds that come from an animal, just like a mother learns to use her telepathy to interpret the energy that comes from a child's fifth chakra, or a father uses that energy. So they hear the baby cry and they say, oh, he's hungry. How do you know? It just sounds like when he was sleeping. And then, no, they know, because there's the baby is putting out this, you know, you might say, this code on there that says, this is a hunger cry. Whether it's in rudimentary words, or whether it's simply the picture of the bottle that's going in the fifth chakra and then ultimately coming up to the sixth to be translated, or a breast or what have you, the child is sending that out. And the mom or dad picks it up. If you use these gold balls between you and another person, it will facilitate having their mind in your mind, their words in your mouth. Do you want to do that? Most of you are game for it, so. And the process is similar. You would put the one gold ball in your throat and simply extend the connecting point, the rod between the two of them, so that you see it going to your partner in his or her throat. And then you both hold the visualization and just sit there and breathe with it. And you don't try to do anything with it. Just hold the visualization. You can go through the same process if you want. After you can hold the visualization without a lot of problem, try to get the balls to rotate, turn things silver if you want. And if you just do this, I'm asking you to do it and then not say like, hello, do you hear me? Don't do that. Just let it sit, and all of a sudden you'll start to, when you say, hey, don't you want to go over to Cafe Bernardo's and have something to eat? Your partner will say, you know, I was just going to say that to you. And it's like, okay, and then you'll start to know it's working. And then it'll start to be present verbally. And the whole point of this particular contraption is you want it to be, it gives things a distinct verbal tinge. It allows whatever is being passed over the cord to be translated into words real distinctly, so you're not wondering what is it rattling around in your throat. And so it'll help you that way. And you can try this, you know, if you want to be close to somebody. Give you a chance to be close to them in a way you've never dreamed. And as I say, it has its great value to you, and you'll enjoy it sometimes, and sometimes you'll think, why the hell did we do this? But remember, you can't, if you try to program all your experiences and make them all of a certain type, you're not really having experiences. You're just experimenting with control. Why not recognize that ultimately consciousness means going outside the self, heading into the unknown, rather than just simply mucking around in the person that you know? So, those forms actually work, and they work in a real direct way. And so, if you are going to share this form with somebody, make sure it's someone that you want to share the form with. You know? Actually, I would suggest, if you have an animal, try it with your animal. It's fascinating, and you, I don't know, just communicating with a different species is always just really fascinating. You can learn a lot about what they think. So if you wonder, like, how does your cat actually think, this will help you, because most of the time we don't know how animals think because we project on them how we think, but it's very fascinating if you know how, say, your cat or your dog thinks, then all of a sudden when they pick up their head and go, like, oh my God, the world's coming to an end, you'll understand what's going on with them, rather than projecting on like, uh-oh, something's seriously wrong, you know, like, or as people say, my cat sees spirits in the room. Well, sometimes it does, but sometimes, you know, there's this tiny little gnat that's walking on the ceiling, and it's just the most interesting thing in the world, you know? It's just, you know, your animals have all different kinds of priorities than you do. So it's best to look at them. I have birds too, and birds are really fascinating to have a telepathic connection with because they're very verbal themselves, and so you can learn to, you might say, verbally communicate with them in languages other than English. You know, it's always, I always think it's odd that we make animals learn English rather than, if we're supposed to be the, quote, more intelligent species, shouldn't we be more capable of learning how they speak? You know, why should dolphins learn English? Why can't we just start to, you know, learn what these whistles mean and do it? Why don't we do that? See, so this will give you a chance just to learn something about, you know, the animals around you or the people around you, too. After all, we all have a kind of a distinctive language that we speak. And so if you're interested in what your partner actually thinks or says or how they actually communicate, try these structures with him or her. It's pretty fascinating. So I just want to take you through some of these meditations today. I won't take you through the upper levels of these things because too much, unless you really feel like you want to do something, unless you make a decision to do it, too much opening in the fifth chakra just gets confusing. It becomes hard to concentrate. Remember, if you have an active fifth chakra, it's translating all the voices in your head, too. So the voice that says, you're wonderful, is there. And the voice that says, boy, you're pathetic, is there, too. And so you're opening up and expanding your ability to hear all those wonderful little arguments that go on between each part of you. And if you've ever think that the idea of the ego is this one singular point inside of you, opening up your fifth chakra will tell you something quite different. The ego itself is a conglomerate of all these different little voices. You'll get to hear all those little voices. And so, let's just begin. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. And I just suggest cupping your hands right now for the moment. Just cupping your hands on your lap. What I'd like you to do is to just sit and listen to your breath for a bit. And as before you do any meditation, it's good to take a moment and just acknowledge who's here right now. What part of you is here right now? Part of you that says, you know, I'm willing and eager to open up to all the secrets of the universe. Is it the part of you that says, I can't wait till I can go get another latte because I'm falling asleep? You know, is it the part of you that says, I'm glad I'm here because I don't have to spend time at home, whatever it is, just acknowledge, because this is the person, this is where you're starting from. It's just where you're starting from. And it's always good when you meditate to acknowledge where you start from. Now visualize above the top of your head a white spiral. Just see it turning above you. And as you breathe in, pull the energy down, as if you're just stretching the spiral down. Pull it to the top of your head, right into your throat, and then exhale it out through the front of your throat. Breathe it back in, and exhale it out behind you. Breathe it back in. Exhale it out to the left side. Breathe it back in. Exhale it out to the right side.
breathe it back in and send it out through the front part of the throat once again. And keep going through the chakra that way. Send out through the back, then the left, then the right, then the front again. And as you do this, just pay attention. If you have a cord to someone that's particularly active, you'll start thinking of them. You'll see their face. Perhaps you'll hear their voice. You'll find yourself saying, yeah, I have to talk to so-and-so about this or that. But you don't even have to ask. Just the use of the spiral breaks up the cord. This gives you a break. This gives you a chance to be alone for a bit. So no one has direct access to your energy system right at the moment. Just you. I ask you to clear away cords because some of you have blocks that say, I couldn't allow someone else to hear these things about me. But if I was by myself, I could hear these different ideas about myself. So when you remove these cords, you simply give yourself the chance to be by yourself, to hear things alone. You can see for some of you there's a real relief when you remove these cords. There's a part of you that just goes, oh, thank you. I'm so tired of hearing so-and-so's voice. Now after your next exhalation, focus on your feet. And draw up through your feet a blue color. Draw it up the sides of your legs, up the sides of your body with your inhalation. Feel it come up through your shoulders and meet right in your throat. Then exhale. And send the energy that came up your right leg, send it down the left. Send the energy that came up your left leg, down the right. After you clear out the chakra, after you literally push the reset button on the chakra with these spirals. The arc simply says, reestablishes the chakra as part of your system. It establishes it, it prepares it to take on its full function rather than simply the attenuated function that it had before when it was full of different cords and blockages and what have you. Try to use a lighter color blue. A lot of you are using this real kind of blue jean kind of blue, and that blue tends to be a little more stiff. It doesn't really respond as well as a lighter blue. So think of a lighter blue sky, for example, and add that to it. You can even add a little white to the blue if you want. After your next exhalation, extend your arms out from your sides with the palms facing forward. I'm going to ask you to breathe in, and as you breathe in, just allow your breath to pull your hands naturally together. Keep focused on the fifth chakra, and your breath will pull the tips of your fingers to the point where they meet and touch right at the center of the fifth chakra. And as we exhale, oh-ah, oh-ah, oh-la-oh. So breathe in and just let yourself draw the fingers in till they touch the throat. And chant. Oh, ah, oh, ah, oh, la, om. And again, just breathe in. Just let your breath naturally pull the fingers right to the fifth chakra. Oh, ah, oh, ah, oh, la, om. Breathe in, just let them draw back, be drawn to the fifth chakra. Your lap again. Just sit for a minute with that opening. Visualize a ball of gold. And just with your next inhalation, draw it into your fifth chakra, draw it into your throat. And just hold it there. You don't have to spin it. You don't have to do anything to it. Just hold it there. Now ask yourself, what other chakra would you like to listen to right now? What other chakra has information that you'd like to translate? Take that chakra and visualize another gold ball in front of the chakra. With your next inhalation, draw the gold ball into that chakra. And after both of the balls are in place, simply connect them in your mind with the gold, with a gold pipe. Let a little gold rod connect them. And just hold it. Now send a question through that mechanism. Send it beginning in your fifth chakra and send it to that chakra that you're connected to. And then just listen. See if the form translates the energy of the chakra into words. Sometimes it will take some time, so don't be disappointed in it if it doesn't work right away. But just send it on down from the fifth chakra. Why do I have this pain? Why am I reluctant to communicate emotionally? Why am I stuck in this job or that relationship? Whatever you want to ask that chakra. And just accept what information there is. Whether it's a one-word answer, a whole bunch, or no answer at all. If you're trying to open up an area that you've closed off to yourself for a long time, suppose you may not karmically able to ask yourself about questions about emotion, for example. And so it may take you time to open up past that karma. That's why the visualization is there. I'm going to ask to chant the chant we did just a moment ago. O-ah, o-ah, o-la-om. And as you do, just let it vibrate in this visualization of the two connected gold balls. And this will also help to simply open up the channel. Relax. Don't dissolve the visualization, just leave it there. And it'll communicate, it'll help to strengthen the communication between that particular chakra and the fifth. And each day I'd like you to make the connection with a different chakra in the fifth chakra. In other words, just choose a chakra each day, do the visualization, and let the rest of the day be holding that particular visualization. And so that after a week or so, you've gone through all the chakras. Until you can hold the visualizations, don't try to rotate them, don't try to change their colors. Let yourself be able to hold it first. It's being able to hold a certain kind of form, an open form that allows you to hear. And so, resist the part of you that wants to go on and do the hard thing right away. Give yourself a chance just to establish the easy thing here. Take a deep breath and just come on up out of the trance space. If you're prone to fearlessness, I would suggest developing your telepathy. If you're the kind of person that pushes yourself to the limits anyway, that's not satisfied with just going partway in something, then develop telepathy. When there's no barriers between the minds of people, it's quite a different world than when everyone's living in their own separate little reality. We live in a very verbal culture. If you're telepathic, you've really connected with the heart of what most people call their mind, simply because most of our culture is translated into verbal energies. So be unafraid and intrepid. And take your time with the meditations and the visualizations. Just because you can try doing a particular meditation doesn't mean that you can master it or actually get the benefits from it. So give yourself a chance to learn. One thing I notice most in people is they seldom give themselves a chance to learn. They expect themselves to be a telepath right now or tomorrow, instead of realizing that they have many, many lifetimes of programming that will need to disappear before this facility comes up to its full potential. Our next meeting will be, September 12th, which is the Saturday after the Labor Day weekend. And so, mark your calendar for that, and I will be here tomorrow doing the service, and let's see, what else is there? Or if you ever get a chance to spend a day or even an extended period of time without talking, do so. It's something that will stimulate the fifth chakra. The fifth chakra has this urge to communicate, and so if you're not talking, you'll be surprised it'll find other ways to communicate. It will actually stimulate itself. It will actually be clearer in its projections to other people about what it wants. And so if you ever get a chance to take a retreat and do a silent retreat, I would urge you to do it. It's something I do a couple times a year, and it really... it's just really refreshing, because it's almost as if this whole world that your voice drowns out starts to appear before you. And for some of you, that's frightening. For me, it's just, it's like a different neighborhood. And so, think about silence. Silence is a good ally in all of this. So thanks for coming today, and we'll see you, if not tomorrow or in Ramadan, we'll see you at the 12th of September. And it'll be in the next newsletter too, but just because you're here, I give you advance warning. Anyway, namaste.